With markets changing and living costs rising, finding a reliable place to grow your money matters now more than ever. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, your uninvested money earns a 3.75% APY, which is higher than the average savings rate. There are no account fees or minimums, and you also get free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts 24/7, so you always have access to your money when you need it. And when you're ready to invest, you can transfer your cash to one of Wealthfront's expert-built portfolios in just minutes. More than 1 million people already use Wealthfront to save and build long-term wealth with confidence. Get started today at Wealthfront.com. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Wealthfront Brokerage is not a bank. Annual percentage yield on deposits as of September 26, 2025 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. The cash account is not a bank account. Funds are swept to program banks where they earn the variable APY. It's time your hard-earned money works harder for you. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, your uninvested cash earns a 3.75% APY, which is higher than the average savings rate. No account fees, no minimums, and free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts anytime. Join over a million people who trust Wealthfront to build wealth at Wealthfront.com. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and is not a bank. APY on deposits as of September 26, 2025 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. Funds are swept to program banks where they earn the variable APY.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button. That's...
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster suit.
And this week is...
Night Trap!
They're right behind you, Night Trap!
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming! Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just...
Did life
porn
give you limits?
Porn cartoon character are you, Steven?
Which porn cartoon character am
uh-huh.
I? Are there porn
Common
cartoon characters?
Facebook games.
What would be my porn star? I'm kind of curious.
Probably like some dude who takes a lot. Probably, I would imagine. Okay.
At Bukkake Gym.
You ever watch Archer?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the cop in season 5 who's like, that would be your gay porn star name? And I cannot remember the name that he was saying. It was pretty funny, though.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, whatever it was good.
All right. If you remember in the comments, let us know.
Yes, please. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes.
We are Soul of a Gamer podcast.
We are. Yeah, that thing.
I'm Scott.
I'm Steven.
And each week we play a game or we do a hot take. And this week we're doing a hot take.
Hot takes. Get your hot takes.
No, just stop. Just stop. All right, well.
Yes.
Our hot takes today are...
game genres we just can't get into and the best voice acting.
Yeah. I was a little confused on your best voice acting, so I picked games with
whatever
voice acting that was cool.
Yeah, whatever you want to do with best voice acting.
But I almost thought you meant like specific people you liked when voice
acting.
I
was thinking best voice acting performances, yeah, but I mean, it could be best voice acting.
You got to be a little bit more.
My bad.
You got to be a little bit more like.
You could always give me a follow-up question, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might be a little different on that one, but that might sit a little bit more interesting.
That's okay. I mean, the games essentially I'm picking because I like the voice actor in the game, so.
Exactly. So
I won't know the fucking names.
Pretty
but...
close to the same.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'll help you out if I remember them.
Yeah.
All right. Game genres we just can't get into. I guess we'll start there. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Sure. You know, and this is the one that I've always just, I don't like doing unless it's kind of cartoony. And it's racing games. I fucking hate racing games. I don't have fun with them. I don't understand how people could have fun with them. Even when I'm racing in GTA, I'm like, this is so fucking boring compared to what the rest of the game is.
It's an interesting thing because I used to be so into racing games. Like I bought every single Need for Speed up until past probably like probably like when they started remaking a lot of them, like the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit remake and a lot of those other ones. I think it just gets too old. There's nothing like really new with a lot of
games. You get better graphics, I guess, and that's about it. Like a concept like Expedition 33, when you think about it, they pull in a tried and true style of gaming with, you know, turn-based RPGs, and they make it something special. There's going to be something special about it. Same with Mass Effect. They take an RPG and they make it something special.
Yeah.
But racing, it's like you can take the racing and kind of make it something special. But at this point, you're either making a real racing game that feels real or you're making Mario Kart. And that's it. There's no in between.
But even with Mario Kart, like, this is the problem I'm having. Like, I've been watching, I haven't bought the new Mario Kart yet, but I've been watching a bunch of the stuff about Mario Kart World. It's no longer a fucking racing game anymore. It's a fucking skateboarding game now. Like, being able to, like, jump and grind on rails and then wall ride and do all these things. Like, the combos I'm seeing people do, you're not on the track for most of the track. Like, it's actually ridiculous. Like, I saw this guy, like, jump, grind a rail, jump, wall ride, jump, do a spin, grind another rail, jump, bounce off of a cow's asshole, fly into
then
the
get
air,
last
jump,
place,
grind on another rail, and then he jumped and then finally landed on the track. But I'm like, you were in the air for like 14 seconds. Like, that's insane for a racing game where it's supposed to be like really grounded. And I think that to me is like when racing games try to invent themselves, a lot of times they go too complicated.
Yeah.
Or they just
I mean, Mario Kart's always been kind of stupid and complicated anyway, so.
Well, I like a lot of the Mario Kart games, honestly. And
it hasn't been the same since Double Dash.
I mean, I still like the previous one even a lot, especially because they added so many maps and stuff to it. Like, there's more tracks in that and more racers in that than any of it. It's kind of like the
Super
Smash Bros.
Ultimate.
Well, it was
out for like 16 years, so it has to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's fantastic, and I still love the kart racing, and it's not something I, like, sit and play all the time, but, like, if I have a group of friends, like, hey, what are we gonna do? Let's randomly get drunk and play Mario Kart, then fuck yeah, let's go.
I mean, racing's just hard, man. I just have never liked racing games, and I get bored so quick. They're always the same. You know, it's always the same shit. It's always the same grind to get the first, and it's just dumb. It's boring.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because, like, we see so many of these, like, racing and, like, heist movies, like Baby Driver and stuff like that, but why can't we get, like, a Baby Driver-inspired game? Something where it's kind of, like, a mix between, like, a crime life and being a thief or something. Like, it needs to be more than just a car racing game because there needs to be something that makes you want to keep playing.
Yeah.
But it still needs to have the great car mechanics, so. And rubber banding needs to stop in all car games. Fuck it.
No, that must make them special.
No. All right, you brought up that one, and that one for me was one that I've tried a ton of those games, and I kind of agree nowadays. I'm going to do another one that I've tried a ton of these games, and I haven't seemed to be able to finish one. I'm roguelike.
You finished one.
I guess I finished a couple. There's been a couple.
Like Lost and Random, I think, is technically a roguelike.
No, I don't think that's more of an adventure game because it's like
it's an adventure with rogue. Yeah, but it's an adventure with roguelike qualities, I think, if I remember right.
Not really, because you don't have like a go back to the beginning after a death kind of thing.
I guess that's true. Yeah. I remember. Didn't we do a roguelike that we... Yeah, we did. We liked...
It was the Forgotten Time one or whatever, the Golden Arrow, where it was like the back in time.
No, not that one. It was the cabin one. You start the game in the cabin and you go through...
Oh, yeah, Slay the Princess, right?
No, Slay the Princess was not a roguelike.
No. Well, which one are you talking about?
It's the one where you start the game in the cabin and then you're in the 8-bit world after...
Yes.
I keep thinking Deliverance, but it has Ents in the name, whatever it is.
It is that card game. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, and that
now
is technically a roguelike, but that one, again, very different than normal roguelike.
Well, that it's also a card game, and I love card games, so that doesn't really count.
Roguelite started as card games, remember?
Well, it started out as the game Rogue.
Yeah. Which was a card game, wasn't it?
No, it was a computer game.
No, sorry, card game. Like, the cards play an important role in roguelike games.
Oh, yes. Most of the time, yes. So. Yeah, I mean, there are outliers, and I have played a decent amount of them, but, like, there's just so much of them that I haven't been able to finish. Like,
yeah,
I've played Hades, I played Returnal, I played Sifu, I played Dead Cells, I've played Loop Hero, I've played Spire, or Kill the Spire, whatever. I played Spire.
I think it's called
Slay the Spire. Yeah, I played Spelunky. I've played like 10 of these fucking games, and there's just something like I always like it to a point,
and then you get bored.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. I've played this beginning level so much of the time, and maybe it's just a skill issue on some of these things, and it's definitely the ones that deal with platforming at all, or
Inscription.
Like Dark Souls, like Inscription. Damn. Yes, thank you.
I almost forgot. Yeah.
But yes, it's just something that I wish I could get more into, because I really love a lot of these games, and I like a lot of the concepts, and I love a lot of these things, but I end up giving up on every single one of them, and I don't know what it is about it.
It's a slow crawl, I think. I think all those games are just like, you have to put a lot of time into them to understand, to learn the combos, to build the best decks, to build the best opportunities, to push yourself forward. And it's just that it makes it kind of boring to play it.
Yeah. Well, and I think the skill gap between like beginning player and end game player is so ridiculous in those games too, that it's really hard. It's even like harder, I think, and more of a skill gap than I think even like Elden Ring possesses sometimes. And I'm like, that's just fucking wild. Because like, I'll watch other people's gameplay and I'm like, how? No. I don't even want to learn. I don't know how. I don't want to know how long it took you to learn how to play the way you play. And for me to learning to play that way, it's going to take way longer. Like, fuck me. Nope. I can't do it.
That's just what it is, man. Roguelites are just kind of a shitty... Like, and I like roguelites, don't get me wrong. But it is kind of like a time-wasting game. You do it to waste time.
Yeah, well, it's that grinding of the first beginning parts of that so much. And then what really sucks is like when you're having a bad run and you can't do anything and you're just having the worst RNG luck ever. Like you roll the hardest boss, you roll the worst weapons, you roll the worst skills, and you're like, oh, cool. Like this is nothing I can even do. I'm not even going to make it to the end. Like, but I have to like keep doing something. Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
There's too much randomness in it.
No.
That's what it is.
All right. Well, I'll go one you just mentioned. I'll say Souls-like.
Ooh, okay.
I don't like Souls-like games. I don't know. They're just kind of like, I get it. People say, well, they're the hardcore mode of games. I'm like, well, there's plenty of games out there that aren't Souls-like that are just as difficult, if not more difficult. That's not the reason I don't like them. I just don't think they're put together very well for me.
That's fair.
Like, the movements are really, really kind of not fun. The builds are okay. Like, I'm sure if I actually sat down and spent 30 or 40 hours getting into a Souls-like game, I'd like it by the end.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't really take me that long to like the game, you know? It's just...
It is definitely one of those games that you have to push through enough to find something you enjoy about it.
Yeah.
And then you'll fall in love with that thing so much that you don't want to let go of it. Like... There's so many builds that like I've tried and I keep going back to like certain builds over and over again just because they're so hard and die and true. And like that's the way that I progressed the furthest was with that build. And I find myself like even doing that so much in these games. And I love these games so much. You know that I've played almost all of them. I've beat every one that I can. And I know like the difficulty thing is something, but like I still think it's more of a mechanics thing than a skill issue. Like
I think it's just learning it's learning all the mechanics in the game and taking advantage of all the mechanics in the game, which I guess you could say about any game, but for some reason the way they present it to me doesn't work out well
because like each boss has its own thing that you have to learn, but like for certain bosses and this is the thing I always find that's really funny about Souls, like there I saw this video that perfectly encapsulated it. I'll try to link it if I can remember it, but this guy was talking about how in Souls likes there's like 5 bosses that randomly you'll have more trouble on than any other bosses. And it's completely random. Not everyone has the same 5. Like there's a boss that I struggled with in Elden Ring when I first started playing with it. It was the fire giant boss for everyone who knows that boss. And everyone I know said they beat it in the first 3 tries. It took me 70 fucking 3 tries. I'm not exaggerating. Literally 73 times. I was so angry. I almost like was getting ready to break a controller. And I was like, dude, like I can't do this shit anymore. I can't. And I've gone back to it recently and got it beaten the first try the last time I went and tried it. And I'm like, this is so stupid. But like literally every time you play the game, there's just like 5 bosses that you will just not be able to do anything with. And it's always random. And it's some random shit boss. But that's the kind of like the fun thing about it is like just the It's almost like we all went through a war together and we're all talking about our war stories. Like, oh my God, dude, Mulaney kicked my ass 74 times and I persevered. I finally got that bitch. But then someone comes along and is like, yeah, but you did it with the Bloods of the Mist and you did it with the Spectre. So it doesn't really fucking count because you didn't get good and do it alone.
You're a nerd.
And you did it with the best build. So it doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, for me, like, Souls-likes just don't, they don't do anything for me. I don't get any excitement out of playing them. For some people, I bet they do, but I just don't. I don't feel them.
No,
they're not my soul.
That's fair.
They're not hardcore RPG enough for me.
This leads actually perfectly into my next one I was going to bring up, which one I think a lot of people might actually be a little upset with. JRPGs.
Oh, yeah, I'm upset with you because I love JRPGs.
I know you do. I know you're a huge RPG fan and a big JRPG.
They're a time dump, that's for sure.
They're an extreme time jump. And I think that's like one of the...
Time dump.
I don't know what I just said. Jump?
Yeah, you said jump.
Time dump.
But they're a time dump.
Deep words.
You dump time into them.
Yeah, I've tried Persona 5. I've tried a couple of different Final Fantasies. I've tried...
Yeah, I've heard Persona 5 is really good, too.
7 Remake. I've tried Final Fantasy 15. I've tried Final Fantasy...
Did you like the remake of 7? I thought you did.
I enjoy it so much, but I cannot get through the fucking game because it is so long with the amount of bloated timeline bullshit in it.
Yeah.
Like, they took the game that was already a long game and elongated it even further. And there's so many segments where you're just like...
With markets changing and living costs rising, finding a reliable place to grow your money matters now more than ever. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, your uninvested money earns a 3.75% APY, which is higher than the average savings rate. There are no account fees or minimums. And you also get free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts 24/7. So you always have access to your money when you need it. And when you're ready to invest, you can transfer your cash to one of Wealthfront's expert-built portfolios in just minutes. More than 1 million people already use Wealthfront to save and build long-term wealth with confidence. Get started today at Wealthfront.com. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Wealthfront Brokerage is not a bank. Annual percentage yield on deposits as of September 26, 2025 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. The cash account is not a bank account. Funds are swept to program banks where they earn the variable APY.
You watch a 20-minute cutscene, then you walk for 30 minutes. Then you watch another 15-minute cutscene. Then you do a random encounter battle that takes you 4 minutes. Then you do another
40-minute
walk in another cutscene, and then you get to a boss battle that takes you an hour and a half to defeat that one single boss, and that was one try. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I just spent like 6 hours, and I'm tired, I'm annoyed. The combat's awesome, but like everyone's health bar
there's
is
not
so
enough
fucking
of it.
Ridiculous. It's not even cool, and there's not enough random encounters to like really keep the engagement up. And there's so much slowness in between that's like, enjoy this beautiful world, you dumb bitch. And I'm like, I do. This is beautiful. This is the most gorgeous graphics I've seen in so long. This is the Final Fantasy game of all Final Fantasy games. I bow down to the beautiness of it, but I get it. It's fucking beautiful. You don't need to shove it down my fucking throat. Like, let me enjoy it if I want to enjoy it. Don't force it down my throat.
Yeah. And, you know, JRPGs have always been those things that essentially, you have to grind, and the grind is the worst part, and the grind can take fucking hours upon hours to get done.
And a lot of times, like, the best grinding places are, like, it's like, all right, if you do this one run, it takes you, like, 30 minutes, and you can get 100,000 experience, and you need 5 million to level up.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like, okay, so I have to do this one single run over and over again, 138 times. I know the math's not right on there. I didn't do it in my head right at all. I wasn't even trying.
150 million times before I get one level.
Seriously,
200
though.
XP.
And then you get 2 extra attack points.
Yeah.
And the health bar is 15.
Yeah, but that's like super important in JRPGs, those 2 extra attack points. So you need them.
I know they are, but it's still so like, stupid. It's so stupid. And like, there's just so much of that, and so much of the game is all hidden in those games too. It's kind of like a lot of Souls like where it's like these hidden boss and hidden teammates you can have and all this hidden shit, and like it's so obscure. And it's like, all right, if you do this one thing, you have to do this list of 14 things in this exact order. And if you don't do it in this exact order, you miss getting this companion. And this companion makes every boss fight super easy. And it's like,
yeah.
No, I have to play the game with a guide to play it the best way possible. And that's annoying.
Oh, I'll give you that. It is kind of annoying to play some of these games and like try to figure out how to be good at them.
Well, and the thing that sucks is like so many of them are just amazing games. Like I absolutely love Persona 5. It is unfathomably like crazy. It's my kind of a world. Like I want to watch the anime. I want to watch movies about it. I want to do all this stuff. But like
I just don't want to play the fucking game.
Long and yeah. I enjoy it, and I still am gonna go back to it at some point, but I'm like, oh my god, I made it through like
to do
what everyone says is like the tutorial, and I think it was like 30 hours, and I'm like, no, and everyone's like, you could put 500 to 600 hours in this game. I'm like, fuck off.
Yep, just what it is, man. I'll come at you with something similar.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. This was a good one for me too, actually.
Yeah, MMOs are just stupid. Okay, like they just like, and I get it. It's a cool way to hang out with your friends. It's cool to do dungeon dives. It's like it's cool to like play the Pokemon and do the Gigamax battles, whatever the fuck you're doing. But they're just so boring after about 2 hours of playing. Because again, it's just that you take everything that Steven hates about like the JRPGs.
Yeah.
And then you also take away the beauty. And then you're left with literally nothing. Like, I don't know. MMOs to me have always been kind of boring. I played World of Warcraft when it first came out. Super bored by it. It was such a slog to get levels. And people are like, well, you got to do this. And you got to get this piece of equipment. And you got to do this quest. And you got to try this one. And I'm like, well, that's a lot of steps for me to have fun. And if that's that many steps, I don't want to do it.
The grind in those games are even worse because it's not just grinding like battles for experience points. It's grinding experience in every category. So you have to chop down an entire forest to level up your forest thing.
Well,
you have to mine
the game. You know, you're talking about like RuneScape and New World and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas most
especially.
Don't. Yeah. Most just have like an alchemy skill trade or something like that. And they limit it to like 5 or 6 things that you can level up. But still, it's just boring, man. It's like getting into an MMO without. Like, and I love Star Wars, and I tried the Old Republic, and I got up to like level 40, and I was like, okay, so I'm just fucking bored all the time. Like, the story's not interesting enough to captivate me. The enemies aren't cool enough to keep me interested. The fucking views are just terrible in that game.
It's almost like too chaotic with everybody on the screen too, because like I even tried the Elder Scrolls online games and stuff.
Yeah.
And even those for me, like I'm a huge Skyrim fan. I play the fuck out of that. I've played it probably like 10 times through, but I'm like, I could not get into that for more than like a couple hours at a time. And even then I was just like, there's so many people. It's kind of annoying. Like, I don't feel like I can go through things on my own. Like you almost are forced. And that's the other thing with a lot of MMOs. You're almost forced to play with other people. Like most of the time, like you're forced to get into a guild once you get
like
to
you
a certain
have no
point.
Choice. Well, and that's the beauty of the game is to play with your friends. But if you don't have any friends, you have to make friends on the game. And I hate meeting people. Because that's not for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things, especially sometimes I just like, I don't mind meeting new people sometimes. But other times I'm like, it's so exhausting to have to like get to know every one of your boundaries every time you meet a new person.
For sure. Like MMOs are just rough, dude. I cannot stand having to do the MMO thing. So that's on my list of shit not to touch. I'm sure people are gonna get a bit pissed about that one because a lot of people really like MMOs, but they are just not fun. Yeah.
No, I mean that's also one for me that I've always struggled with. So I totally I get you there. Next one for me, I'm gonna go with Metroidvanias. Metroidvanias.
I see like those 2D like.
The 2D sky scrollers where you have to go back and forth all the time.
Yeah,
this is going to be like your Hollow Knight, Castlevania, Metroid, Mega Man.
Castle Crashers?
I don't remember if Castle Crashers is a...
Right, it's been a long time since I've played Castle Crashers.
But just a lot of these style of games. Ori and the Blind Forest is also a Metroidvania, stuff
Although
like that.
Although I liked Ori and the Blind Forest.
I really... It is a great and beautiful game. And a lot of these do have great and beautiful moments. Like, I love the art in Hollow Knight. I love the boss battles in Hollow Knight. But the platforming sections can fucking suck a dick.
Yeah. Suck a dick, platformers.
Well, and like that one sucks because it tries to be like almost as difficult as a Souls-like. And kind of everyone says it's like a Souls-like Metroidvania.
Yeah.
Like the only real one of those. And it is on that level, and I would put like the artwork and stuff on par with it, but I'm sitting here like, dude, yeah, the boss battles and stuff, I absolutely love. I love everything about the combat, but you fucking have these long sections of going through these maps and bouncing on this shit, and I'm like, suck at platforming. And it's one of those things I cannot get like good at, or I don't want to get good at. It just frustrates me to my core. It's like the one thing in my anger management that I have not been able to stop getting angry at.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it should be easy. Like so many people don't struggle with platforming. But for me, it's like the stupidest thing that I don't know how to do.
Got to learn how to jump. Jump right.
I swear I hit it right, but I don't most of the time or half the time. Yeah. And it's just like.
All right. I only got one more here. And this one is oddly specific. Cards. Now, I'm not talking about like just card games in games. Like, I'm talking about like people who play the virtual poker.
Okay.
And the virtual blackjack, the virtual like
heart spades.
Yeah, I've never been even solitaires, kind of boring as shit. But people really love wasting time on those fucking games. And some people spend real money, which is never a smart move. Don't do that. But like, they're just boring, but people fucking love it to the point that they're still making, like, the World Poker Tour games or whatever.
Yeah, I...
Like, I've never been able to understand people's interest because they're boring. Like, they're just fuck. You're sitting... You're essentially taking cards and making it into a simulator game, right? Because you're sitting at the table with your cards in front of you with a fake whiskey glass in front of you. Like... it's just the dumbest thing in the world, but people fucking love it, and I don't understand why.
It's just the love of the game of poker. There's such a unique strategy to the game of, and a unique simplicity strategy to the game of poker.
Yeah.
And it's still like the luck and chance.
Go take that to a real poker game. You can play that anywhere you want.
The greatest thing about it is, though, like I can gamble with millions of dollars without ever losing millions of dollars.
I guess that's true.
Like I love playing poker. I play with it anytime anyone wants to play. We play with chips. We don't play with real money, but we'll pretend it's real money and we'll get serious like it's real money. But like, I don't know if I could ever like go, like I've never actually gone to a casino. I've thought about it hundreds of times, but I've never actually gone to a casino and been like, man, I'm actually really good at Texas Hold'em, but like, do I want to actually risk real money? Like that seems a little crazy to me. Like there is something that's nice about the not actually having to lose your own shit.
I just don't like it. I would That's not fair. Play a game like that. I tried it once. I'm like, this is the most boring shit in the world.
I will say there was a new game that came out a couple years back. I think it was called Bellatro. And it was a roguelike poker game that's so weirdly unique that I think a lot of people actually enjoyed that one. And actually went pretty... It's got over 100,000 reviews on Steam and shit like that. Like, it's a pretty big game. I was, like, pretty surprised by it. But it's decently fun.
Okay.
Brings a unique charm to poker that is not in most poker games. And you don't really need to even like poker to play it.
Fair. All right. Is that it on your list, or you got one more?
I got one more. Actually, wait. No, I don't. That was it.
All right, perfect. Then let's move on to our next one of Best Voice Acting.
Yes.
I'll start this one out here. I'm going to give you Verso from Expedition 33.
Ooh, nice.
And I could pick literally anyone from Expedition 33. They're all phenomenal fucking voice actors.
Yeah.
But the voice acting in Expedition 33 alone is just fucking amazing. And each individual character really brings like the pain, the horribleness of living in that world and the joyfulness and gleefulness of like little moments of happiness that they have. Like, it's just such a cool fucking voice acting experience just to go through that game and just feel like you're actually winning over characters in real life.
Like, I
and
have
I'm pretty
a favorite.
Sure Verso is Charlie Cox, right?
No, that was Gustav was Charlie Cox.
Are you sure? I thought it was opposite. Whoever it is.
Yes.
They did a great job voice acting for Verso.
But yeah, I also loved Jennifer English. She was Mael.
Yeah.
She's also Shadowheart.
My favorite part with Mael's voice acting was when she couldn't talk and she was, you know, not talking.
No, shut up.
She's got that
everyone
perfect...
in that game, phenomenal.
Everyone, no, I definitely agree. Like, all the voice acting in that game is just superb in every level. And yeah, you're right. Like, they perfectly encapsulate that, like, haunting beautifulness of that world. Like, time is so fleeting, but they all, like, really, like, want to live and they really want to push for everything. And Mm-hmm. But like the We Continue, like I almost want to get We Continue tattooed on me somewhere, dude. Like that's such a fucking good line.
Yeah.
God damn. Like such simpleness of that dialogue, but it's so beautiful and everyone does an amazing job. And speaking of Clair Obscur, we did have a TikTok video that we made last week that we were talking about where we were trying to ask everybody who would be who everyone thought Gustav looked more like for the movie.
Me or me?
We said, I said Robert Pattinson, and Scott said Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. Well, the results were in. I was going to share this. So we had gotten 10 comments saying Robert with 37 likes on those comments.
Boo.
And 2 comments for Jake.
Boo.
With 0 likes on any of those comments.
Screw you, people. You don't even fucking know.
And then 1 for Charlie Cox with 4 comments on those. And then 1 for Jake Whitehill.
I think the old Charlie Cox looks like him.
Yeah, only one person said that. And actually, one person even said, like, everyone's saying Charlie Cox, Charlie so Cox. Sorry. Don't care if he was modeled off of Cox. He does not look like him at all. He looks like Robert Pattinson. That was
okay.
We had username my name say, he literally is Robert Pattinson. He's super not Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, bullshit. That guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
We had one person say 50-50. We had one person say he looks just like Robert Pattinson. We had someone who just said Charlie Cox is an actor.
Okay.
Like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, you guys are stupid. You don't know who Charlie Cox is.
We
He's
had
an actor.
All 3 of Robert Pattinson 100%, Robert Pattinson 1,000%, and Robert Pattinson 1,000,000%.
What, do they go in order like that?
No, they weren't in order. I think 1,000,000% was first, then 100%, and then 1,000%.
So they got less and less sure about it?
It was 4 different people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're getting less and less sure.
And then definitely Robert Pattinson. Someone said he's more. One person said more Jake.
More Jake.
That's all he said, was just more Jake. He's literally modeled off of Charlie Cox. I didn't know that to begin with, but
guys,
I still think more.
Chill
Robert
out.
Pattinson.
We're not saying who he. We're not doubting. Maybe he looks a little bit like Charlie Cox, but I mean, I don't think so personally.
Ardvid Adventurer posted both my wife and I thought Robert Pattinson. Swaggy P said, "I never saw Rob P, but Jake is a joke."
Whoa. He's got that lazy eye. You show 1,000%. Them the right picture. And it's
dude,
good.
The pictures I picked were good. I made the argument as close as I could for you. I really did.
You picked the right picture. And I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal comes out on that
one. He did. Honestly, when I found the picture I found that I posted for it, I was like, that picture looks pretty close. Not going to lie.
Ryan Gosling, I bet, could be entered into that too a little bit.
No,
but only
no,
I think he looks
so.
A lot like Jake
Gyllenhaal.
He's
too pretty.
He is pretty.
I do think, and then I did have 1,000% thought it was based off of Robert Pattinson by far.
We should contact the company and see if they based it off of Robert Pattinson or not.
Well, everyone
stole
says
his image.
Modeled off of Charlie Cox, but like,
well,
I
I'm
still
gonna
don't
ask
even
them.
See that. Like, I don't
I don't see it. I mean, it could have been like mo-capped off of him, but I'm pretty sure they didn't do any mo-cap for this game.
I don't think they did.
They did. It was a lot. It was all computer simulated. I don't know how you could model someone off of someone when you're not doing mo-cap, but...
Exactly.
What the fuck do I know?
But yeah. So yes, I definitely agree, though. Expedition 33 has some of the most phenomenal voice acting.
The best
acting.
Voice
you could
acting.
Anyone
oh
in that game.
Literally.
Like Scott said. Yeah. And thank you for all those people who did comment on that video. That was hilarious to hear some of those takes. And,
keep it up, guys. Keep commenting.
In the word of Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, vindication!
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so good, too.
All right. Next one for me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring up Troy Baker. But I
of
will bring up specifically. I'm not even going to bring up Last
of
Us.
Of course you are.
I'm bringing it up for Indiana Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think he did a great job as Indy.
He did phenomenal. I didn't even realize it wasn't Harrison Ford at first. Like, that's how good he did it. Like, that's insane to me. If you can nail someone's voice so well, and the amount of attention to detail that he even said that he put into trying to sound exactly like Harrison Ford is crazy. The amount of times he rewatched those films to get those voice lines just right, the attention to detail he had, like, it's actually like, goddamn, dude. And even Harrison Ford said, you did an insanely good job. Like, you got the man himself to be like, yep, that's Indiana Jones. I'm okay that's with me. Sharing the title of Indiana Jones with Troy Baker now. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. Like,
yeah,
he's,
I could see
it. He's such a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. Honestly, that whole game, again, just a lot of people who did a really good job at voice acting. So.
Yeah. Him, Tony Todd, a bunch of others.
All right. Well, I'll come at you with one of my favorite games, Knights of the Old Republic 2. And we're going to talk about Kreia.
Okay.
So Kreia is a cryptic old woman who is neither a Sith nor a Jedi. She's kind of in between. And the way she talks is just so fucking phenomenal. She's got such a good voice. And it spells like mystique. It spells like wisdom. Like, she does such a good job, the voice actress, although I don't know who it is, at bringing the character really to life, which is what I like about the character the most. Like, it's just the voice matches the character's personality perfectly. It's like they took that person's voice and said, we're going to write around what you sound like, because holy shit, it's good.
I always love that when someone's like, you just like you see someone and you immediately think a voice in your head, and then you hear them talk and that's exactly how they sound. You're like, oh, yeah, that's so pleasing. I like, there's something like so unique about that. Because there's so many times where I'd like walk up to someone, I'm like, I was not expecting that voice to come out.
Right. Like, honestly, it's just one of the best characters in all of Star Wars, too. She's very, like, in the middle. And the voice actor did so fucking good. It's Sarah Kesselman.
Sarah Kesselman?
She's dead, I'm guessing. Oh, no, she's still alive. She's 81.
Woo! Cool.
Go Sarah!
81 and still kicking. We wish you the best.
Yeah!
All right. That's a good one. I haven't played Knights of the Republic 2, so I need to play that one so I can experience that character. But if you like that character, let us know. Next one for me, I'm going to bring up, this one's kind of an obvious one, but I really loved Yuri Lowenthal's performance as Spider-Man in both Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Okay.
Him as Peter Parker is so phenomenal. Like, he nailed...
Why didn't they just use Tom Holland since they made the character look just like him?
Okay, honestly, like, I love Tom Holland for the live action performance. I think he's the best Peter Parker we've ever seen, the best Spider-Man we've ever seen, like the best epitome of both we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I think Yuri Lowenthal nails the voice acting performance, and I want him to be the voice actor of Spider-Man in every animated thing Spider-Man. Like, I think he nails that, especially the older Spider-Man, so well, because this Spider-Man's also 8 years after being introduced and already got his powers for over 8 years. Like, so this to me is just the epitome of what he would be like and the perfect voice actor for it. I've always loved Spider-Man. He's my favorite character of all time. I have him tattooed on my arm. Like, he's the best. And I think this is just... I cried during his performance, dude. Like, multiple times. It's so good.
Unless he's in Nebraska, he's not really the best at that point.
Okay, we're not bringing up the... That was Dan Cummins skit about Spider-Man sucking as a superhero. Very good. Except for, I call bullshit to that argument.
Come closer! Come closer!
He doesn't need buildings. Yes, he wouldn't be able to get there as fast, or he'd have to drive a fucking car to get there. But he still would have the powers. He would still have his extra strength.
He would be there way late to the robbery, and it would probably be over by the time he got there.
I mean, yeah, he has to be in the vicinity.
But luckily, in Omaha, Nebraska, the downtown area is not very big, so he could probably be in the vicinity of the whole downtown area.
I mean, exactly. He just needs two buildings to slingshot himself. We see that in the game all the fucking time.
It's only like, it's less than a mile, I think. So.
Yeah, no, seriously. And he can honestly probably run a mile in less than fucking 4 minutes anyways.
Yeah, probably. So. He's super, super eager. All right, well, I'm going to bring you out with Miranda. Of course, I got to talk about Miranda from Mass Effect.
I was wondering which Mass Effect person you were going to bring up. I was wondering if it was going to be Jennifer Hale, because Commander
Garrus
Shepard
actually was on my list too. But Yvonne Strahovski, just even the name is fucking awesome. But she's got the sexiest voice in all of voice acting.
One of the sexiest characters ever.
Shit. She is, but like, her voice, I love her voice. She is so fucking cool. I don't know if she's English or not, but she does the English accent just fucking phenomenally. She's such a good voice actress. And like, when she's, it's weird because like, mostly I like it because it's sexy. Like, an English accent just kills me. But also, like, when you go into it and you hear her like do her pain stuff, when you hear her do her sadness stuff, when you hear her do her happy stuff, like, it's all very, what do I want to say here? Very directed. Like, it's clearly directed at the player to feel that emotion at that moment. And she's very good at doing that. And the Mass Effect series has always been good with voice actors, but they killed it by getting, God, I wish I could say her name, Strahovski.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yvonne. And I love the name Yvonne too.
I do great like name. Yvonne.
Yeah, such a cool name.
I think it's kind of funny. We both have such a big weakness for that English accent.
Yeah, I mean, I loved May from It Takes Two, too. She's got
yeah, May
voice.
From It Takes Two. I know.
I think the actor for her, English, she's like 56 or something.
Dude, that doesn't matter, dude. Like, that accent is so good. I don't care. Which actually, this will bring me right into my next one, too. Camilla Luddington as the new Tomb Raider, Lara Croft.
Nice.
I love her in the new trilogy. She has the best, sexiest Lara Croft voice ever. I love her performance. She's adorable in real life too, honestly. She's absolutely just insatiable. I don't know, like
insatiable.
That performance was so good. And the amount of, like, you're talking about, like, death screams and like those like moments and stuff. Like, Lara Croft had to do so many different kind of deaths. And that, from all the different ways you can die in that. She was talking about that in one of the interviews, how she had to record, I think it was like somewhere like 80 different death screams and cries.
Yeah.
Like, where she's like, all right, you fall off a cliff, you fall into a pile of spikes and you're under a waterfall. So you have to be like screaming, but also gurgling because you're underwater. And that she would like try to do that. And she's like, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done, but it was such a unique experience and so fun. And she really killed all those performances. Like, you really felt like she was actually going through all that. It was the most real I've ever seen a Lara Croft performance be. And for her being one of my favorite video game characters of all time, like, she was just so badass. And there was such a unique, like, naive charm to her because it was a first time Lara Croft experience. And it was before she became the Tomb Raider.
The Tomb Raider.
All right.
I'll give you one with that you'll love.
Okay.
J.K. Simmons.
Oh, and everything.
Dude, like, it doesn't matter what he did, but especially as Cave Johnson. Dude, when I tell you I loved the Cave Johnson speech back in the day, it used to be my ringtone when people would call me. Yes. Like, it was just such a good, stupid little speech about lemons, but it was so fucking perfect. And his voice acting in there is so perfect. Even though it's just his regular voice, it's how he fucking sounds. Like, he's the never greatest, changed his voice. It's so
he's one of those people, like we talked about, like Patrick Warburton or some of these other people that just
they don't have
that,
to.
Such a unique voice that they don't need to be anything other than themselves. And it's so perfect every fucking time because they play the right roles.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, him as J.K. Simmons in the Spider-Man live action, the video game, even like everything.
I mean, him as his name is J.K. Simmons.
J. Jonah Jameson. Jameson.
I could see where you get the confusion.
God, dude, I fucking hate how many J's are in that. Right.
Or like, if you ever watched Crossing Jordan back in the day, he was amazing in that. Like,
Jordan, dude.
He was just such a good actor, and Cave Johnson, such a cool character. And that was just so iconic to see that.
Dude, Crossing Jordan's a hot take in itself. Anybody remember that show, The Blast from the Past?
I love Crossing
dude,
Jordan back
Crossing
in the
Jordan
day.
Was so we're good. Just, that was like the best lawyer show, especially, I love Nigel.
Not lawyer.
Or not lawyer, what was it? Judge?
Mortuary show.
I couldn't remember exactly what it was. I remember it had to do like something with like medical or the law, but wasn't her like
it was
mom or aunt in the law or something?
Kind of both, because
I'm
pretty sure her boyfriend is a detective.
Yeah,
or maybe
well,
it's her brother.
I thought there was some law stuff with it too.
No, but her dad's an ex-detective and his wife died.
Okay.
And then the J.K. Simmons is the head at the morgue. So
Okay.
An interesting show. And it had like, yeah, if you guys have ever seen Step Brothers, the woman who's married to Will Ferrell's brother in that is in the show as a serious actor. And I've never seen her as a comedian, but she's apparently more of a comedian than a serious actor. So it was so weird after watching Crossing Jordan, watching Step Brothers and being like, that's her?
Oh, there's some people that would like, they do like a role that's like off of what you normally have seen them as.
Yeah.
Or if you watch something first and then you see them something else, you're like, no, aw.
Oh, she's really fucking funny. She's very
great,
versatile as an actress.
Okay. No, that's a good one. I got a good one that you might enjoy as well.
Okay.
This one wasn't the person the character is modeled after. It was actually a different voice.
What?
This was
Charlie
for Alan Wake. Matthew Parada as Alan Wake. That voice carries the fucking game, honestly, in my opinion. Like, that story is so unique and beautiful, but it's the noir. It's his voicing everything, his thoughts, reading the story, everything to you. If it didn't have the right voice actor, that game would not have worked at all. Because he is everything, the writer, the main character, the everything you're playing. Like, if he wasn't a good voice actor, it just would fall apart. Like, full-heartedly. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't be interested. But that performance was so good, I had to give it credit. Okay. And I didn't even notice that it wasn't the same. Because I thought the actor who played the visual of him and played the live-action version of him was just Alan Wake. But I didn't realize his voice actor was a different actor entirely.
So that's kind of interesting.
Is there a live action version of Alan Wake? I didn't know that.
Well, I don't remember if there was an Alan Wake 1, but in Alan Wake 2, there's live action cutscenes.
Really?
Yeah, there's like moments where you're in the real world, moments when you're in the shadow world, moments where you're in like, it's wild. I've just started playing Alan Wake 2, but it's an interesting, it dives way deeper into what the game was getting into in the first one. It's pretty insane so far.
Okay. You know, and I like the first game. I should play the second one, but I don't know if I ever will. It's one of those things.
I'm really enjoying it. Everyone says it's just as good, if not better. Honestly, okay. It's been really great so far. And it was up for almost every Game of the Year award for that year that it came out. So a couple years back.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm on my last one. So this... Now, it's an interesting choice in a game that's just filled with fucking talent, okay? So you know. And most people would probably choose Jennifer English. I think her voice is just, and it's just sexy, man. She's just sexy.
So good. Oh my God. Everything about her.
Amelia Tyler. I have to give it to the narrator.
Okay.
Because I love the narrator so much in the game. Just the different like introspection she had with certain situations. You could be really brutal in a situation and she could be, and he thrust his sword, slayed the dragon and cut off his head, held it above and the entrails went down the arm. Or it's like, he caresses the head softly as he goes in for a kiss. The gentlest of those. Like, it was just such an insanely good where you had to be everything and anything. And she did it so fucking well. Like, my God, the narrator in that was so fucking perfect.
It really is.
And
honestly,
this is Baldur's Gate 3. Sorry, I should have said Baldur's Gate 3.
It really is such a great performance. There's so many scenes in that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like her voice. And one that comes to my mind the most is when you play the Dark Urge character. I'm not going to give away what happens, but there's something that happens during the night one time and you might have a dark urge and not realize something that you did. And the way that she like talks about you waking up with blood on your hands with this character dead on the ground and you're just like, insatiably lusting for the blood that's on your hands, and you're just like, oh my God, the way that she describes everything is just so profound and just so amazing.
And not just that, like if you remember, like she took like 3 years to record all of her fucking lines for the game too. It's just insane, but fucking phenomenal game, phenomenal voice actress.
Oh no, 100%. That definitely agrees. I do have one last kind of really hot topic take on a voice actor that we all love that I
Is it
thought
me?
Of recently that I didn't know if I wanted to voice, but I'm gonna go fucking for it. I think Mark Hamill is a little overrated.
How fucking dare you?
Hear me out. He is the most amazing Joker I have ever seen. He is the Joker.
He does a really good job voicing Luke Skywalker, okay?
Besides Luke Skywalker,
who is his voice?
Which is his voice, and Joker, which is his fake voice. Every other character he's ever played sounds like the Joker and is even Joker-esque. Well, like in The Flash, he was the trickster. In this other game he was in, he was another like Joker character. He's been so many times where he plays like this like clowny character, and every time he sounds like the Joker. He's someone that like he's like Patrick Warburton, J.K. Simmons, all these people. I'm wanting to put Mark Hamill in that same box that he's got one voice.
Yeah.
And
he
that
probably
voice
does.
Is fucking brilliant and one of the best voice acting I've ever heard ever. But I think we do need to put him on the pedestal if he's got that one voice.
Yeah. I don't even know what else he's been in, honestly. I've only heard the Joker and the Luke Skywalker.
But like in The Flash, he was the trickster.
Yeah.
The CW Flash or whatever. and he played that in multiple episodes.
Yeah.
Which is literally just the Joker, but like a lesser form of the Joker. And he literally did the exact same voice. Like, it wasn't changed in the slightest. There was something else I saw him in that every time I was hearing him talk or even like start to laugh, I'm like, you just sound like the Joker. And there was just so many times I'm like, I love this man to death. Like, I was one of the people who was like the diehard, like, he's one of the best voice actors ever. The more and more I see him in things, the more and more I'm convinced that's the only voice that he has.
Which is fine. It works well.
It's insane. It's brilliant. I hope he continues to do it forever. But I wanted to say, like, that's my hot take with him, is I absolutely love everything about him, but I do think that he is only got that one voice.
Like, yeah, you know, you're likely right. I don't know anything else he's in, so I don't really know, besides, like, again, playing Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I guess he's in the regular show.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know.
I've never watched the regular show, so I can't. Maybe he does an amazing voice job in there. Maybe we need to expand our knowledge of Mark Hamill's voice acting tenure. I mean, that could be the case, too.
Let me know in the comments if there's anything you've heard him do a wildly different voice, or I'm blowing smoke out of my ass and I just ignorant as fuck. But...
you've never heard him voice Luke Skywalker. That's what the problem is.
But I just, that was one of the things I was thinking about earlier. I've thought about it quite a bit recently, and I'm just like, yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything different. I haven't seen anything different, and it's just... like, I always want to bring it up every time I talk about voice acting, but I'm like, but that's the only voice I've ever heard him do. Like,
yeah.
And that's something I've been taking out about recently with my wife a lot, is like voice acting. Like, certain characters have like that one voice that's amazing and we all love it, or those actors who just act the same in every role, like Ryan Reynolds. But like, there is something to say about those actors where you're like, you hear that they acted in that and you're like, no fucking way that was him.
Yeah.
Like, there was the new Studio Ghibli movie, The Boy and His Heron.
Yeah, that's a good movie. It was fun.
It's a great movie. But if you would have told me that the heron was Robert Pattinson, and not to bring it back to Robert Pattinson, but if you would have told me that the heron...
you piece of shit in your fucking agendas.
Was Robert Pattinson, I would have fucking told you you're a liar. Like, I had to watch like actual clips of him doing this voice because he couldn't believe that he actually did that voice. It was so different and so uniquely
not him. He's very versatile as a dude.
Yeah. That, like, I'm like, those kind of voice performances...
That was a vampire and Batman?
Or like Colin Firth is the Penguin. Like, I didn't believe that almost at first. I was like, no way that's Colin Firth. Like, what the fuck? But like, there's times where someone like just takes like a role and they make it so much their own that you forget even who they are. Like, they become that character so much that you're like, no way that's that person. And I like
and
those
Mark Hamill is not that dude.
Because every time I hear Mark Hamill, every time I see J.K. Simmons, I'm like, that's J.K. Simmons. Like, that's J. Jonah Jameson. That's just always what I see and what I hear. But when I see some of these other characters, I'm like, oh man, who is that? Like, I need to know who that is.
When everyone played fucking Baldur's Gate 3, then they're like, who the hell is fucking Shadowheart? She sounds hot.
Seriously?
That's all they thought.
Oh, and Astarion. Yeah, Astarion got a fucking ton of love too.
Yeah, which, yeah. The guy,
oh my God.
I mean, Astarion's all the voice actors
showed up in Liza P. Overture.
Oh, nice.
So cool. He's the Lord of the
Bastards.
That game
has made everybody's career, I bet, for those voice actors. Dude. They probably get so much work now.
Jennifer English was in 3 of the Game of the Year nominations.
Yeah, I remember.
I was like, or 3 different Game of the Year nominations. Before, yeah. Because she was also in Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, holy crap. Like, the beginning of your career has been phenomenal.
Yeah, let's get married, Jennifer English. You and me. Let's elope.
Dude.
I don't know what you look like, but yeah.
She's beautiful, honestly, in real life, too. She is.
All right. I think that's it for us.
Not
smoke. God damn, my wording is all off today. We've glorified Jennifer English a little bit too much. Let's move on.
Yes, we have. We've definitely done that quite a bit. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all of our hot takes for today.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Reach out, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Check out the TikTok, soulofagamerpodcast on TikTok. Yeah. Check out Instagram, Soul of a Gamer Podcast on Instagram, I'm sure it's called. I'm just guessing the name. I'm guessing it's all Soul of a Gamer Podcast.
It's all Soul of a Gamer Podcast. It's on everything.
Please.
But yes, please give us any ideas of any hot takes you want us to answer. Any kind of game questions you have for us, that'd be great. Actually, I'd love to get some content where I don't have to come up with it myself.
Yeah, buy us sandwiches and send it to us. Actually, make us sandwiches and send it to us.
Oath, but no mayo.
No.
Mine is plain as shit. It's just
no.
Meat.
You put everything on. You put onion. You put
meat,
lettuce.
Cheese,
you put
and bread.
Tomato.
I'm good. And even
he doesn't eat
really light on the cheese.
He's a weirdo.
I'm such a weirdo when it comes to sandwiches and shit. Yes.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right.
Bye.
Love you.